We'd like to read tonight from 1 Samuel chapter 10. I ask you to please get a Bible and look at the Word of God as I try to read from 1 Samuel chapter 10. The Word of God here is describing the occasion where Samuel was going to be anointing and did anoint Saul to be king of Israel. So I'll read now from 1 Samuel chapter 10. I want to read verse 1, and then we'll come down to verses 5 and 6. 1 Samuel chapter 10, I encourage you to go home and read. You know, it's a wonderful blessing to read the Word of God. And if you'll just sit down and read God's Word every day, I believe that God will speak to you through His Word. So I encourage you to read the Word of God. I encourage you to read this 9th and 10th and 11th chapters of 1 Samuel. Read now from 1 Samuel chapter 10, beginning with the first verse. The Word of God says, "Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head, that is upon King Saul's head, and kissed him and said, Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" God anointed. It wasn't just Samuel that anointed him, but he says, "The Lord has anointed you to be king over his inheritance." Come down now to verse 5. Samuel begins to tell King Saul about things that he's supposed to do. And in verse 5 he says, "After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines, and it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place, with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy." Now listen carefully to verse 6. Samuel says to David, And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shalt be turned into another man." I want us to think tonight about the two expressions primarily in verse 6, but the first one is, "And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee." Then it says, "And thou shalt prophesy with them." But the main other expression is, "and shalt be turned into another man." And brethren, I believe with all of my heart that there is a change in the lives of the people of God when they are born of the Spirit of God. There's a change that takes place. But I don't believe that Samuel was telling Saul that you're going to be born again down there as you meet the Philistines. Rather, he was talking about being filled with the Spirit of God, and when the Spirit of God came upon him, that he would be a changed man. He would be, the expression he uses here, "and you shall be turned into another man." Now, brethren, I hope all of us understand that we are in the flesh and in the nature of man, that we are wretched and vile creatures. And without God coming and working in our lives, without the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us in regeneration, first of all, but then later continuing to come in our lives, without the Spirit of the Lord coming upon us, we will continue to live very ungodly lives. But when the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, the Word of God makes the expression here that we shall be turned into another man. How many of you have ever felt like that you had two completely opposite natures? How many of you feel that way? That there are times in your life that you feel like that you just love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, and you want to serve God, and you want to worship God, and you want to do everything that God would have you to do. And then there are other times that you just feel like, maybe you don't feel this bad, but I do sometimes. I feel like I'm the devil himself. I just feel like I'm so wretched and vile and ungodly. And brethren, I believe that many of God's people feel those two different kinds of feelings. The Word of God tells us that we still have this warfare in us. Even after we're born of the Spirit of God, we still have the flesh to contend with. And if we don't fight, the Bible tells us that the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. We have both of those natures in us. Being born again does not mean that you don't sin anymore. Being born again does not mean that you never have any more problems and troubles in life. Being born again means that you do have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. But you also need not only the Spirit of God dwelling in you in regeneration, but you need the Spirit of God to come upon you so that you can act and live like a different man every day. And I would ask all of you to be praying to that end, that God will help you to experience what Saul experienced. Because when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, not only on this occasion, but many other occasions, on this occasion, there was something that Saul did when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was turned into another man, and what did he do according to the reading of the Word of God in verse 6? What did Saul do that he was not accustomed to doing? What did he do that he did not normally do? What did he do special on this occasion when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him right here? What did he do in verse 6? He prophesied. Now, brethren, you might not believe this, but I believe with all my heart that unless a man is filled with the Spirit of God, unless the Spirit of God comes upon me when I stand in this pulpit, I'm nothing but giving a little talk to the congregation. But if the Spirit of God is here, when we come into the house of God, if the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, I am turned into another man. And if the Spirit of the Lord is upon you, when you're in the house of God, you're turned into another man. And when you go about your daily activities, did you know you still, not just in the house of God, but everywhere you go, you need to be turned into another man. When I get up in the morning, you know what I need to ask God to do? I need to ask God to send His Spirit upon me. Because when God's Spirit is upon me, just like when God's Spirit was upon Saul, just like when the Spirit of God was upon King Saul, he was turned into another man. Every time that the Spirit of God comes upon me, I'm turned into another man. But oh, how sad it is that I don't stay turned into another man. Do you experience that kind of feeling in your life, that you are periodically turned into another man when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you and you feel the power and the presence of God? Listen, brethren, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a person, doesn't matter whether it's a little child or whether it's a man or a woman, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon a person, they change from being weak to being strong. They change from being sorrowful to being full of joy. They change from being afraid to being bold in everything that they do. And when you read the Word of God, you find throughout the pages of God's Word that the saints of God, as the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, that every time the Spirit of the Lord came upon them, they were turned into another man. The expression is not used anywhere in the Bible except right here. But the reality is that every time the Spirit of the Lord comes upon somebody, they are turned into another man. Have you ever seen a man that's so mean and vile and wretched and just so corrupt, and yet the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him and he's brought to his knees? A man that would, like Saul of Tarsus, would hate Christ and hate the people of God and hate the Church of Christ. And yet, you know what happened on the road to Damascus? And brethren, by the way, I believe he was born again before the road to Damascus. And the reason I believe that is because the Word of God tells us that Saul of Tarsus had been kicking against the pricks. That's one thing. He had repeatedly been kicking against the pricks. That is, the Spirit of God kept warning him what he was doing was wrong. Another reason I believe he was born again before the road to Damascus is because the Word of God says that Saul of Tarsus, different Saul than we're reading about here, but the same experience took place. When Saul of Tarsus was out there killing Christians, he did it because he thought he was doing God service. He loved God. He feared God. He wanted to serve God. And he thought he was doing God service by killing Christians. Saul of Tarsus, I believe, was born again before the road to Damascus. But on the road to Damascus, there was something that took place. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that man that hated the church began to love the church. That man who had been killing Christians became a Christian. You know what happened? Saul of Tarsus, just like King Saul in the Old Testament, Saul of Tarsus was turned into another man. You know what it takes to turn somebody into another man? Did you know I can't turn you into another man? I may try to push you and pull you and twist your arm and do everything I can to change you, but unless the Spirit of the Lord comes into your life, you'll not be turned into another man. So you know what all of us need to be praying for? Do you know anybody that needs to be turned into another man tonight? Amen. Amen. Listen, brethren, so many times we want to sit in the pulpit and say, oh yeah, I know somebody needs to be turned into another man. And we're thinking about somebody else. All of us in this building, we need to be turned into another man. There's not a human being in this building, there's not a child of God in this building that doesn't need to be turned. And the people of God would often cry out to God and pray to God and say, turn us, and we shall be turned. And brethren, whenever God's Spirit comes upon us, it doesn't matter what you have been in the past, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you will be turned into another man. The Word of God tells us about Samson. Samson. Back up in your Bibles just a moment to Judges. Look at Judges chapter 14. The Word of God tells us about Samson in Judges chapter 14, verses 5 and 6. He was going down to get him a wife. Did he need help? Did he need guidance? Did he need wisdom? Did he need understanding? He needed a lot of things. You know what you get when you get the Spirit of the Lord upon you? You get wisdom. You get knowledge. You get understanding. You begin to learn some things when the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Brother Bud, you ever felt the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Were you changed into another man? Now, many times you've been changed into another man, haven't you? Amen. Listen now. You can change from being depressed to being on top of the mountain. Did you know that? You can be turned from a man that's dwelling in the valley to a man that's dwelling on the mountaintop. It all depends on whether or not the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. That's one of those songs that we sang. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Listen, brethren, when the Spirit of the Lord is not in the house of God, it's tedious and tasteless hours. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord is not in the pulpit, it's tedious and tasteless hours. And I can try all I want to, and you can try all you want to. You can't conjure up the Spirit of God. It takes the power of God. We cannot even worship God without the Spirit of God, and we need the Spirit of God. Every time we come together, you need to be coming, Lord, turn us into other men. Turn this whole church into another kind of church that's full of the Spirit of God all the time. Not just, boom, he turned into had the Spirit of God on him, and then 6 weeks later, boom, he had the Spirit of God again. And it becomes so rare in some of God's children's lives, it's hard to tell the difference in children of God and children of the devil. Amen. And brethren, we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to live in the Spirit every day. And if I live in the Spirit every day and you live in the Spirit every day, we're going to be different people. We're going to be turned into another man. Amen. Not just occasionally look a little different, but we're going to be turned into another man. Samson, we're in Judges chapter 14. Listen, please, to verses 5 and 6. I want you to see the change. Was there a big change that took place in King Saul's life when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him over there in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and he was a changed man. He was turned into another man. Listen now, Samson here in Judges chapter 14, listen to verses 5 and 6. The Word of God says, then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. This doesn't mean it was a little baby lion. This means it was not an old, weak lion. It was a young, strong lion. And this young lion roared against Samson. You know, how many of you think Samson was some strong, muscular giant? Was that the thing that made Samson... How many of you think Samson was... You know, sometimes we picture Samson, we think, you know, he must have had muscles just rippling everywhere. That's not what made Samson strong. It was not his muscles that made him strong. Do you know what it was that turned that Samson into a different man? Do you know what it was that took a man that was otherwise weak but then was strong? It was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. You look at God's Word in Judges chapter 14, after it says, the young lion roared against him, verse 6 says, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Oh, what was he now? Now, yes, he was another man. Thank you, Brother David. Right on track. He was turned into another man. Right there. He was turned into another man as soon as the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him, that is, he tore the lion in two, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. I'm not going to preach this, but I want to mention the rest of this, a part of the rest of this. Do you remember what he did later when he came back by this same area? Do you remember the lion was, the carcass of the lion was laying there? You remember what he did? Who remembers what he did? He went back by the carcass of the lion. What did he find there? Found honey in the carcass of the lion. You know, you remember that? And he went and took that honey and he gave it to his mom and daddy. And let me tell you something, brethren. I thought about this a lot in the past week. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you know when you need the Spirit of the Lord the most? When do you think you need the Spirit of the Lord? I know you need it all the time, but when do you need the Spirit of the Lord the most? Just somebody tell me an example. Brother Philip? Okay. The next day. Because when you've been on the mountaintop, what happens the next day? You're right down in the valley. Okay, when the devil roars against you, whenever you're facing major problems in your life, whenever you're facing something that's too big for you to face, you need the Spirit of the Lord upon you. And right here, the lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson, and he killed this lion with his bare hands. He didn't have anything to kill it with, but later he went back, and he was able to eat honey out of the carcass of that lion. And in my experiences in life, whenever I've had mighty obstacles and great troubles in my life, and the Spirit of the Lord has come mightily upon me, and I've experienced deliverance by the power of God, I've been able to go back every time and eat sweet honey out of that, to go back and reflect on it. Teresa and I have done that this week on a number of things, to go back and say, God was there. It was the power of God that helped us through that situation. And listen, brethren, it's a wonderful experience, not just to feel the power of God when you're going through it, but go back to that old dead carcass and say, oh, I can just see the power of God back there. I can see and I know God was with me back there. And you eat honey out of that. You get something sweet out of something that was bitter before. Now watch this. You think that's good. It gets better. Well, look at the next chapter. Judges chapter 15. Now, the Bible talks repeatedly about the Spirit of the Lord coming mightily upon Samson, but I want you to notice one other time. You go home and read all this, but I want you to notice in Judges chapter 15. Judges chapter 15, listen to verses 14 and 15. Let me ask you this question. After the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon Samson and he killed the lion, did he go through some weakness after that? And then after he went through some weakness, then the Spirit of the Lord come on him again. I want you to follow this now. In Judges chapter 15, verses 14 and 15. Judges chapter 15, verses 14 and 15, the Word of God says, and when he, that is Samson, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. What kind of people were the Philistines? Somebody tell me, what kind of people were the Philistines? Say it again. Okay, they were worldly. They were enemies of God. They were giants. That's what I wanted. They were giants. These were not little weakling soldiers here. They were giants. And the Philistines shouted, not one Philistine, but all the Philistines, they shouted against Samson. You know what he needed right there? Did he need a good spear? Did he need some good armor? What did he need? He needed the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, sir. And so the Word of God says that the Philistines shouted against him, and the Scripture says then, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his hands loosed from off his hands, and the bands loosed from off his hands. Verse 15 says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and he took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. How did he do that? How did he take the new jawbone? It was the Spirit of the Lord. Now, you don't need to picture some mighty man. I'm telling you, you take how many of you remember in the old days they used to have a picture of 90-pound weaklings? Any of you remember that? You picture a 90-pound weakling, and you picture him doing all this. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came mightily upon him. That's what made a difference in his life. Now, here was the pretty part I wanted to see. It gets better. He killed him with that jawbone, new jawbone of the nasty. He killed 1,000 of those giants. And then he was real thirsty. And you know what God did? He began to cry and say, God, You helped me and you blessed me to kill all those giants, and now I'm just going to die of thirst. Don't you love me anymore? You know, if that had been my child, I'd have whipped him right there. I'd have said, how in the world can you doubt me so quickly? But that's what Samson did. And when I open up my, look into the mirror of God's Word and look at my life, you know what I find? I do the same thing. I can be filled with the Spirit of God. You may not think I ever have been, but I have been. I can be filled with the Spirit of God and go, boom, right back down in the valley and say, Lord, you're just going to leave me all alone and cry and mully grub. Got to get over it. Here's the jawbone of the ass. Now he's thirsty. You know what God's going to do? Come down to verse 18. I want you to see this. You remember what he did back there with the carcass of the lion? What did he get out of the carcass of the lion? After he went back and ate honey. Now this jawbone of the ass, he's killed 1,000 Philistines. Verse 18 says, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord. You know what you need to do when you have a problem? Call on the Lord. And he was sore athirst and he called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? The God clave and hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. You know what he did? Took the jawbone of an ass, and God curved out a little place there, and water came out of that jawbone of an ass. Wow. And there again, I think you see the same kind of picture you saw with the honey as you went back. God can just take these experiences we have when we're filled with the Spirit of God and we just reflect on them and feed on them and drink from them for a long time. If you don't reflect back on those times you've been filled with the Spirit of God, you're missing some great opportunities to eat some honey and drink some fresh water, living water. You go back and you think about how God has been with you and helped you and strengthened you and guided you and directed you and filled you with His Spirit. Just somebody tell me. Anybody that you can think of that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he was turned into another man. We'll just take one other person. Okay, Brother Caleb? Paul. All right, we mentioned Paul. He was Saul of Tarsus. I mentioned him. I didn't turn to that, but that's an excellent. That was one of the ones I had down as a major mark by, was Paul. But also, say it again,
Peter.
That's the other one I wanted. Thank you, Lord. Peter. Oh, what did Peter do? He denied Christ. What kind of man was Peter? Peter was a weakling. Peter was a coward. Peter was afraid of the people. I'll tell you, brethren, you turn and read from Acts chapter 4, 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 2. Back up to Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You see a different man. Peter was not the same man. He was turned into another man. You know what made the difference in Peter's life? He didn't go lift weights. He didn't go jogging. Peter was turned into a different man because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he was a mighty man of valor. And he wasn't afraid of anybody. And when they began to question him how he lifted up that man, he said, that same Jesus that you crucified, God has made him both Lord of Christ. It's the power of Jesus that's lifted up this man and he's able to walk. And it's the power of Jesus that filled those people on the day of Pentecost. Peter was not afraid anymore. Why? He was turned into another man. You know how he got turned into another man? Was it just that he got born again? What I'm trying to draw a line here is there's a difference in being born again and the Spirit of the Lord coming on you several times, many times. Everybody understand what I'm saying? And that's the reason, brethren. That's the reason. You know what we need to pray for every day? If ye being evil, you've heard me quote it many, many times. It's one of the most beautiful scriptures, most important scriptures in God's Word. If ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit? You know what the Holy Spirit is? It's the Spirit of the Lord. He will give the Spirit of the Lord. And then what will you do? You'll change from being sorrowful and depressed into being full of joy. You know what the kingdom of heaven is? It's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. You know, we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Ghost. Yes, we do. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, In verse 4, he talks about that the only way he could preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit was when the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. He says, if I'm going to sing, I need to sing in the Spirit and with understanding. He says, if I'm going to pray, I need to pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Listen, brethren, you can't preach, you can't pray, you can't sing unless the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. I'm talking about really sing, unless the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You can't worship God unless the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you're turned into another man and you're able to worship the God of heaven and earth. What a wonderful experience to come together with God's people and see the Spirit of the Lord come upon His people and them worship God in singing and praying and the study of God's Word. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. May God help us to pray for the Spirit is my prayer for Christ's sake.